Okay, good morning everybody. Today's daf is Tainis Daf Yud Aleph. We left off on Daf Yud Amud Beis. We are at on Yud Amud Beis at Bimasnisa Tanal Tav Siu Psiu Gaza. About 10 lines on the bottom of the page. First one line is Bimasnisa. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored by Friends of the Beach Minion, Liz Chusruf Vashlema, for Aryeh David Halevi Ben Yehudis Shira, Besoch Shar Chole Yisrael. We thank the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So first thing we're going to do is we're going to finish the discussion about what it means Al Tafsiu P'siya Gasa. We had one explanation yesterday, and or Al Tirguzu B'derech rather. We had one explanation yesterday, and the second explanation we'll have today, which is not to be Posei P'siya Gasa. But then the Gemara is going to discuss how a person is supposed to limit what they eat, how much they eat while traveling. We'll have two reasons as to why to limit what you eat while traveling, and we'll have a couple of nafkaminas for those two reasons. Then we're going to talk about how a person should behave during years of famine and during an esara, and the Gemara is going to tell us that the person shouldn't have tashmish amita during a famine unless they already have children. And we're also going to talk about how a person should minimize his level of comfort when the tzibur is in tsar, and that a person should not be poresh from the tzibur. We're going to talk about the judgment one faces la asad lavo, and how we're going to have to acknowledge every single one of our actions and do a tziduk hadin on the punishment for each of our actions. Then the Gemara is going to have three different opinions whether a person who fasts is considered a chote, a kadosh, or a chassid. Is it a good thing, a bad thing, or a really great thing to fast? The Gemara is going to tell us on Amud Beis that Talmidei Chachamim in general should avoid extra fasting. And then we have three possibilities why Rav Huna holds that a person who goes to sleep after a fast day without breaking their fast, without eating, let's say you're in one of those northern places during the summertime, and the fast is over at like 11:30 at night, so okay, so you go to sleep at 11 o'clock at night, and then you wake up the next morning and you daven shachris. So why it is that he holds that you don't say anenu at shachris even though you're still fasting by shachris the next morning? Then the Gemara is going to conclude, the daf is going to conclude with three different shilos that Mar Ukva himself was unable to answer, but somehow he got the answer in the Beis HaMedrash. So let's begin B'masnisa Tana again, about 10 lines from the end of the page, maybe 9 lines from the end of the page, on Daf Yud Amud Beis. First one line is B'masnisa Tana. So again, we're trying to figure out what does it mean when Yosef tells the Shvatim, tells the brothers, Al Tir Gezuba Derech. So B'masnisa Tana, it means Al Tafsiu Psia Gasa, that you should not take large steps, you shouldn't take long strides. V'chnisu Chamali Ir. And also, when you enter a city, it should be during the daytime, it should be when the sun is shining. Out of Sipsia Gaza, what is it about not taking long strides, large steps? Because Psia Gaza takes away 1/500th of a person's eyesight. So it's just not wise to take these large steps because you're going to lose a little bit of your eyesight. So Frek tells us, well, wait a second. Then, like every sprinter should be blind, right? If you take 500 steps, you should have, you take 500 large steps, you shouldn't have any eyesight left. We see that that's clearly not the case, says Tosos. So Tosos says, no, meaning each step takes 1/500th of what remains. So it's not that there's a predetermined, it's not that your eyesight is broken down into 500 equal parts, and with each large step, one of those parts goes away. It's whenever you take a psia gasa, 1/500th of what's remaining goes away. So you're never going to get to zero. But he says, adayin kasha, d'maishon psia rishonin lo tels yos min hashniya. Why would it be that the first step takes away more than the subsequent steps? Eli yishlom d'lon tels al psia rishonin dafka, mikan ve'elach, kivin d'dosh dosh. Inam psia rishonin lo tels tfei, mishum d'kol haschalos kashos. So it says two possibilities. First, it could be that the limit is 1/500th, meaning the first psia gasa that a person takes away 1/500th of their eyesight. But then beyond that, it's kiven to dash dash. Once he gets used to that kind of stride, nothing is going to affect him. The long strides won't affect him at all. Or it could be that the first psia takes away more than the subsequent ones, because kalas kashos, that whenever you begin something, that's where it has the greatest impact. And and the impact gets less and less as it goes on. But you have to somehow make sense, this statement of the Gemara, that it somehow affects a person's eyesight to such a degree when we can very clearly see that that's not the case. No pun intended. We can very clearly see that that's not the case. V'chnisu chama le'ir, and you should also go back in the Gemara, you should also go into the city while the sunlight, while it's still sunlight out, because Rav Yehuda Merav. Dom Rav Yehuda Merav, lo n'yetzad m'chitov, y'chanis m'chitov, sh'nemar boker or, v'anoshim shulchu, that the morning became light, and they were sent out. So you see that a person is supposed to only travel during daylight hours. That, of course, appears in the first daf of Maseches Pesachim. That's why Tosfos points, he says, I already explained all this in Perek Amud Pesachim, and the reason it appears in the first daf of Maseches Pesachim is because, as we recall, the first word in Maseches Pesachim is the word Or, and the Gemara spends a lot of time trying to figure out what does the word Or mean. It says Or Larbas or Botkin Asachamez. So when the Mishnah uses that term, Or Larbas or Botkin Asachamez, does it mean the nighttime of Arbaasar? Does it mean the daytime of Arbaasar? So one of the rayas that we brought from Pesukim is that it says Haboker Or. So you see that Or is Boker, that when the Boker was light. So Anoshim Shulchu Amar Vidom Reb Chia Malach Bederech Al Yochel Yoser Mishnei Rivon. So Vidom Reb Chia says the person who's traveling should not eat more than he would eat during a year of famine, during years of famine. Meaning one has to be very cautious with how much he eats when he travels. My time, oh, why do we have to be so limited in our diet while we travel? So two possibilities. Hachatargimu Mishum Mayona, that over here we say it's Mishum Mayona, which Rashi says means Shalishchalchlu Meyav Shaladam Barov Achiloso, that his stomach shouldn't get messed up from eating too much because of the Toreach Haderech, that the burden of traveling is going to affect his stomach. But b'marava amri in Eretz Yisrael, they said a different reason. Mishum mezone, very simple, very practical, that if you're traveling, you don't know where all the kosher restaurants are, you don't know where you're going to be able to buy your next food, and because to acquire your next food, and since you're limited in your food supply, you have to be a little more careful, a little more sparing in what you eat while you're traveling. So my binayu, what's the nafkamina between, you see this concern that when we travel we're never going to have enough to eat. This goes way, way back, all the way to the times of the Gemara. So all of our Chalamoy trips were the entire car is full of food. So this is we're always concerned that we're not going to have what to eat. So my benai, what's the nafkamina between these two shitos? So two nafkaminas. One nafkamina is, what if you're traveling by boat? So there's no tareach haderech in the conventional sense, because you're not, your feet aren't moving, you're just sitting in one place. So even though I would have thought by traveling by boat can mess up your stomach a lot more because you'll be seasick, but eventually you get your sea legs and you'll be okay. But as far as the burden it places on your body through the physical exertion it places on your body, you don't have that when you're traveling by boat, because you're just sitting in one place, or you're on a train and you're not moving. But as far as being far away from your normal sources of food, that's certainly true. Inami dekazunle avna la'avna, or another nafkamina is you go from one inn to another inn, where each stop, and you know that there are rest stops all along the way, and each stop has food available, so you don't have to worry about mazonos, but you are putting a lot of exertion on your body by traveling from one stop to the next stop, and therefore you still do have to worry about that place. Rav Papa called parsa achu chadu rifta. Rav Papa, every parsa that he traveled ate an entire rifta. Kasavr mishum mayana, because he held that the concern was a stomach problem, and Rav Papa had a super stomach, so he was allowed to eat. He was able to eat a lot more, and it didn't affect his stomach. That's what Rashi points out. That Rav Papa, we know, was a bal beten or bal basar, is the other girsa. He was a person who was had a very large stomach, and he was able to eat a lot without it affecting him very much. Someone who starves himself during years of famine is going to be saved. It's a skula to be saved from a misa mishuna, from an unusual death. That in famine you are poda from you're redeemed from death. Meirav mi ba'ilei. It should have been meirav from famine, not birav elachikamar. bischar shemaravatzum b'shnei ravon nitzal misa mishuna. It's not saying that you're going to die of starvation. That it's or that I'm sorry that meira that you'll be saved from death of starvation. No, it's saying on account of being maravatzmo in the schar in the reward for being maravatzmo for not eating too much during years of famine and being mishtatef with the tzaros of the tzibur, then you'll be saved from a misa mishuna because a person experienced that tzar with the tzibur. Amrei Shlakish, asalad and l'shamish mitasu b'shnei ravon. On a similar note, a person is not allowed to have tashmish shamita during years of famine. It's considered inappropriate. How do I know that? Shenamar uliyosef ilad shnei banim b'terem tavo shnasa ra'av. That Yosef had two sons before the shnasa ra'av. So many psukim from Vayesha Miket, you know, from these coming parshios that we have in these dapim. That Yosef was born. Yosef gave a sire two sons before the shnas harav. Why was it before the shnas harav? Because once it was shnas harav, he wasn't being mishamish mitaso anymore. Tana chasuche bala mishamish mitosayin b'shnei ravon. People who don't have children could be mishamish mitosayin during years of famine. If you look at the top tosos, tosos al mishamish mitaso b'shnei ravon v'im tamar yocheved nolde ben achamos v'osa eis rav haya v'al karch shim shum mitosayin b'shnei ravon. He says, I don't understand. We know that the 70th of Yaakov's descendants was born. Ben Achamos was born in between the walls. That's as they were heading down to Mitzrayim and preceding their journey to Mitzrayim, it was years of famine, right? That's the whole story. So how is it that Yocheved was born? Ben Achamos, how is it that they had Tashmish Shemita during that time? So it says, Tazi Yisham Adul Kuli Amul Avi Asur El Mishrot Zalino Gatzma B'Chasidus V'Yosef Lo Shimish Al V'Shabin Adam Shimshu. That this is just a Midas Chasidus and it's not for everybody. And Yosef was knowing this Midas Chasidus. But not everybody, not just every person is going to be knowing this Midas Chasidus. Such an interesting way to phrase how Levi was not knowing this Midas Chasidus. Not everybody, okay, not everybody, but you'd imagine that the Shiftei Kah would be knowing this this Midas Chasidus, but that's how Tosa suggests, that it, since it's a Midas Chasidus, they were not all knowing this this Midas Chasidus. Mepharshim also asks from Yitzchak Avinu that when he was in Grar, he was Mishamish Mita. Yitzchak Mitzachik. So the Mizrahi suggests that that wherever he was, B'makom Megurav, there was no Ra'av. There was no famine in the place where Yitzchak was. The Marsha suggests that it was after the Ra'av was finished. Pasuk says, Vayihi ki orchu lo shama yamim, when he was there for a good amount of time. A good amount of time means enough time that there was no famine anymore. The Maral in Gur Aryeh, the Maral Miprag, he says he was Chasuch Ebanim. He wasn't Kaim Peru yet, and therefore it's mutter, like the Gemara says, chasuchei banim are mutter to have tashmish even during years of famine. Or possibly says the Maral that it was lel tvila when there's a mitzvah sona. The mitzvah sona overrides, especially if you say like Tosos that the whole thing is a midas chasidus and it's not minadin. So there are a lot of things that are a minak tov, but if there's a mitzvah sona, the mitzvah sona is going to override the minak tov. For example, we have two nights a year where there's an iser of tashmish shemita, Yom Kippur and Tishbav, and that's why even a mitzvah sona is not going to override that those two nights of the year. Meaning, if it was a woman's mikvah night on Tishbav and Yom Kippur, he is still in Alalav Tashmish Shemita because a mitzvah sona doesn't override a din. But there are other nights of the year that it's a minhag not to have Tashmish Shemita on Rosh Hashanah, on Shmini Atzeres, on Pesach, on the first night of Pesach. So there's a minhag on Shavuos, a minhag not to have Tashmish Shemita. But what if it's a mitzvah sona? So the mitzvah sona overrides a minhag. So something that's only a mitzvah chasidus, something that's only a minhag, is going to be overridden by the mitzvahs ona. Furthermore, says the Maral, that famine in Yosef's time was in the entire world, but famine in Yitzchak's time was not an international, whole world famine, and therefore maybe these halachos didn't apply. Rishonim also ask, meaning what Tosos asked, the other Rishonim asked Tosos Kasha as well about Yocheved, that how is it that Yocheved was born Ben Achomos? So as we said, that Tosfos suggested that it was only a minhag chasidus, but the Achronim disagree what Tosfos even meant by that when he says it was only a minhag chasidus. Some of them say that it means that even though it says a lashon of iser, sometimes we have minhag chasidus, meaning the Gemara says that it's also the shamish b'taso. Well, what's the lashon of the Gemara? Aser la adam the shamish b'taso b'shnei revon. How does Tosfos take the word aser and say, yeah, the word aser doesn't mean aser. It means that if you happen to be a chassid on the madrega of Yosef HaTzadik, then it's aser. So some of the Achronim understand that Tosfos is saying that, yeah, sometimes we use the term aser even when something is not really aser, even when it's only a minhag chasidus. This is the Chidah, and others try to find examples where we use the term aser even though something is only a minhag chasidus. Fasemis understands that before Matan Torah was midas chasidus, but today it's actually aser. So that's what Tosfos means. Tosfos means to say that in the times of the Shvatim, it was a midas chasidus. Nowadays, you have to trust what the Gemara says, and the Gemara says that it's aser. The Marsha suggests that no, it's certainly Bistam, it's Nisr Gamur. By it's only by Yosef and Levi, who were not yet Mekayim Pruravu, and therefore it was Mutter for them because they're Chasuche Banim, so that's what we're saying. And nevertheless, even for someone who's Chasuche Banim, it's a Midas Chasidus to avoid Tashmish Amita. And Levi wasn't Machmir in that Midas Chasidus. That's a little bit difficult because what we were just saying before. What do you mean? If they were Chasuche Banim, means they have a mitzvah of Puravu that has to be done. So you're going to tell me that there's a Midas Chasidus not to do a mitzvah, not to try to have children and fulfill the mitzvah of Puravu, but be that as it may, that's how the Marsha understands Tosfos. Other Rishonim give different terutzim to Tosfos Kasha. The Ritva says that when the famine is on the Goyim, then we don't have to be Mitzayir. The whole idea of being Mitzayir in years of famine is to be Mishtatev with the Tzibor. We don't have to be Mishtatev with the Tzibor Nachrim. Yosef asked himself because he thought that his brothers and his father were starving also. Beis Yosef suggests that it was before Matan Torah and was not yet Aser, and the whole limud from Yosef is only Nasmachta Bialma, but there's really nothing to be learned from Kodem Matan Torah, which leads to the question, if there's nothing to be learned from Kodem Matan Torah, right, so how do all the other Rishonim understand what's going on over here? Meaning, all the other Rishonim seem to assume that there's a real halacha being derived from Yosef, but it's a Gemara that in Moed Katan Daf Chav that tells us that we don't learn anything from Kodem Matan Torah. So the Achronim try to give examples from all over Shas where we do learn many halachas from Kodem Matan Torah. How many halachas we learn from Lavan? We learn like 6-7 halachas from Lavan himself. So there's a lot that we learn from Kodem Matan Torah. So the Marsham in a Chuvin Chelik Beis in Reish Chav Dal, it says maybe the Bavli is cholik on the Yerushalmi because Moed Katan Daf Chaf, Tosfos quotes a Yerushalmi that says that we don't learn from Kodem Matan Torah. Maybe the Bavli holds that you do learn from Kodem Matan Torah, or it could be that in general we don't learn from Kodem Matan Torah, but on occasion we do, that there are certain exceptions to the rule. Every rule, or almost every rule, has exceptions. The bottom line is, though, that what we do seem to paskin this way, that when there are years of famine, a person is not supposed to engage in Tashmish Amita. The Ramah paskins in Simin Reish Mem, which is Hilchos Tznius, it's at the end of the second chelek of Mishnah Berurah. The Rama writes that Hu Adin other tzaros, it's lav dafka famine, all tzaros a person should not have tashmish amita. So Achronim, I'm not sure what he means by that. It could be any tzara that were gozer tainus. But in Shiar Knesset Hagadol he says that the makor of the Rama is Yerushalmi, and it's not any tzara that we fast on. It's dafka tzaros that are dumya deraav, that Yerakon Shidafon, meaning when the crops are destroyed, where there's really a concern about food in particular, that's where it's going to be an Isra of Tashmish Amita. There's also halacha that during Shas Melchama one does not engage in Tashmish Amita. So Shaila, whether such a thing should still be knowing Bisman Azah. I remember Rav Asher Weiss wrote a tshuva on it when during one of the wars in Eretz Yisrael, whether that we should start being makbid during years of war that people shouldn't have Tashmish Amita. Okay, I don't think the practice is to encourage these things nowadays, but nevertheless, it does seem to be a halacha based on the Gemara. Okay, so he said Chasuk Rebbeim are allowed to have Tashmita. So back in the Gemara, Tan Rabbanim, Bizman Sheyisrael Shuim B'Tzar, when the Jewish people have Tzar, Upirish Echemen, and one of them is parish from the Tzibur, Ban Shnei Malachi Asharis, meaning one of them is parish from the Tzibur, goes somewhere else. He doesn't want the Tzaros. So Ban Shnei Malachi Asharis Shemlav Lo Adam, two Malachi Asharis who escort a person come, Umenichon Lo Yudein Al Rosho, and they put their hands on his head. Va'omrim Ploni Zeh Shepirish Min Tzibur, al yir b'nechamas tzibur, that this person who's parish from the tzibur shouldn't see the nechama of the tzibur. If it's a case of pikuach nefesh, where you can avoid the Gemara says that if there's a plague going on, so a person should get out of town so that they don't catch the disease or whatever illness is going around, unless you may already have it and then you're going to be spreading it to other people. But generally speaking, if it's just a tzar that's going on in the community, so you don't abandon everybody else. Tanya idach, bizman shat tzibur shori b'tzar, al yomer adam, when the tzibur is b'tzar, a person should not say to himself, instead of engaging in all these tfilos and all this tainis, elich lebesi va'uch l'vashta, I'm going to go home, I'm going to eat, I'm going to drink, v'shol melech anafshi, and, I don't have the tzara. You know, everyone is losing their jobs, and everyone doesn't have what to eat, but I'm fine, I'm good, so I'm not going to be involved in the tzara. For some people, during COVID, it was very good for business. Whatever businesses they were in, I never thought I'd make so much money selling masks, and now I'm making more money than I ever made before. So, but you still have to daven, you still have to participate in the tzaros of the tzibur. The most akedin, if a person says shalom alei nafshi, alava kasvomer v'neisas v'simcha rog bakar v'shachotzon achol basar v'shos yayin achol v'shosok ki machor namus. That once the previous pasuk describes the evil of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, that he calls the heavenly legions together for Bechi and for Mispeid. So he says, Afal Pikein, the people are celebrating and drinking, and everyone's just saying that to themselves, that tzar is not going to affect me, and I'm not going to participate in the tzar of my brother. So Maksiv Basrei. So what's the onesh for such an attitude? V'nigla ba'aznei Hashem tzavakos im yichupar avon azel lachem ad tumusun. That person is going to die as a result of that. Ad kan midas beninim. That's as far as people who are beninim who are afraid of misa. The pasuk says ki machar namos. So their mistake is that they think they're going to die before the tzara ever reaches them, or they'll do tshuva when the tzara does reach them. So they're not rishayim gemurim, aval b'midas rishayim maksiv. But when it comes to rishayim who aren't concerned about anything, have no fears of anything. So the board is supposed to say esayu eka yayin v'nisba shechar v'yakazay yom machar. That everyone says to the other one, come with me, we'll take wine, we'll get drunk, and even machar, well, even tomorrow, we'll be osik in mishta, but in an even greater measure. And they think that everything is always going to be okay. They're not afraid of any piranhas whatsoever. And even when the tzara reaches them, they're not going to do tshuva. So their onesh is even greater. Maksiv basrei, what does it say after that? Hatzadik avad, the ein ish sam alev, that they're not paying any attention. Kimipnei ara nesav hatzadik. Because of all these ra'os, the tzaddik suffered. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want that the tzaddik will be available to be mevakesh rachamim for them. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away their path to be able to achieve kapara. How does a person do proper tshuva? They go to the tzaddik to learn how to do proper tshuva, and the tzaddik davens for them. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away the tzaddikim from them, and by taking away the tzaddikim from them, takes away their path toward tshuva. That's how the Ritva understands. The Rashi says a little bit differently, that the evil, what's going to happen in this world, the suffering is going to be so great that Kodesh Baruch Hu does the tzaddik a favor by killing him before the suffering begins. Because once that suffering begins, the tzaddik is not going to be able to, it's going to be too much for people to bear, so Hashem doesn't want the tzaddik to have to live through that. So once we see the onesh for people who hide themselves from the tzara of the tzibur, the Bryce explains what is the proper hanhaga. Ela yitzara adam ima tzibur. A person should be mitzara himself together with the tzibur, even if he's not experiencing that tzar. Shekin matzinu b'Moshe Rabbeinu shetzir atzma matzibur. That was the hanhaga of Moshe Rabbeinu. Shenemar, the pasuk says, when Yeshua and the nation went out to fight Amalek, and Moshe lifted up his arms in tefillah. So what did it say? That when he lifted up his arms, v'gavar Yisrael, when he put his arms down, v'gavar Amalek, v'dei Moshe kvedim, and Moshe's hands were heavy, v'yichu ever v'yisimu tachto v'yashav aleha, and they put a stone underneath Shechitim and he sat on it. They couldn't find a single cushion for the leader of the entire Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu said to himself, if Klal Yisrael is Bitzar, I too am going to be Bitzar together with them. I'm not going to just go on with my life as normal. And anyone who's Mitzar himself with the Tzibur is ultimately going to see the ultimate Nechama of the Tzibur. So Vishami Yomar Adam, lest a person say that he's not going to be Mitzar with the Tzibur, me may it be, and who's going to know? It's in the privacy of my own home. I'm going to eat, I'm going to drink, no one's going to see, no one's going to know that I'm loving it, that I'm enjoying life, even when the Tzibur is suffering. Now the answer is, the walls of your own house will be the aid against the person who has such an attitude. You see, the Avanim will cry out and will be made against the person who is not mishtatif with the Tzibur. The Gemara brings other possibilities of who's going to be made against him. The two Malachi Asharis that escort a person, they're going to be the aidim against him. It says, Rabbi Chitka Omer, Nishmaso shall Adam be made alive. A person's neshama will be made. Shenemar, pasuk says, Misochechas chekecha shmar pischei picha. What's something that lies betochecho shall Adam? That's his neshama, and he has to watch his mouth and his body and make sure he doesn't do any averos, so that his neshama won't be made. V'yesh omrim, evarim shall Adam be eaten bo. His evarim, his limbs, will be made against him, because all the averus that he does is recorded. The data is recorded in the limbs of his body. So that's all going to be there to be made against him in those times. Shnemar atem edai nu'um Hashem. That is loshon rabim, the avarim of a person. They are going to be the edim, says Hashem. In the Mara Kohen, in the back of the Gemara, he points out that the Rambam writes in Hilchos Mezuzah that anyone who has tefillin barosho, bezroo, tzitzis pebigdo, mezuzah bepischo, if a person has tefillin on his head and on his arm, and he has tzitzis on his body, on his clothing, and he has a mezuzah on his door, he's muchsak shlo yechta. And those are the malachim ha-misham roso matzilin shlo lachto. Those are the special malachim that save him from doing averos. So says the Marakohen very, very nicely, he says that could be what this entire Gemara is about. That it says that avnei beisov Vakoros Beso are going to be made. What does it mean? Avne Beso, Vakoros Beso? The mezuzah that's on. Mezuzah's Beso. Nishmaso Shaladam is the Tefillin Shabarosho, because it's connected to the Moach, which is the Mishkan HaNeshama. Evarav Shaladam is connected to the Tefillin Shalyan, which corresponds to the arm and the action limbs. Tzitzis Shalgufo is also Menam Malachim that are Meshamrim from the Chet. So all of this is relates to the mitzvos that one does. That's what's going to be made against him, that the mitzvos that a person does protects him, and they're made against him if he's not mishtatif with the tzibur properly. Kelemuna ve'in avel. Pasuk says kelemuna ve'in avel. This is in Tzor Tamim Pa'alo. So kelemuna k'shem shen far min arashayim li'olam haba afil alaveira kalasha osin kachman far min atzidikim olam hazeh alaveira kalasha osin. That one of the great chasadim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does that doesn't feel like a chesed is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes tzaddikim for avera kala, for whatever small averas we do, a tzaddik does in this world. That just like he pays back the rishayim in the next world, even for an avera kala, so Hashem gets those punishments that a tzaddik needs to suffer, he gets them out of the way in this world, so that in the Olam HaEmes, everything is going to be smooth sailing. Ve'ein avel, what's ve'ein avel? K'shem shemesham schar l'tzaddikim l'olam haba. Just like all the world, the reward is going to be forthcoming for the tzaddikim in Olam HaBa, afil al mitzvah kala sha'osin, even on a minor mitzvah, kach masham schar l'rishoyim b'olam hazeh, afil al mitzvah kala sha'osin. So too Hashem gets the reward for the rishoyim out of the way in this world, even for a mitzvah kala that they do, and then ultimately in the next world, the rush is going to be punished that much more strongly. So the hemshich of the pasuk is tzaddik v'yosharhu. So melamit shavshas p'tiras v'shalad, and that tells us that when a person leaves this world, the beis olamo, kol mas of nifra prat in the fun of. All of his actions are going to be detailed in front of him. They're going to say to him, kach v'kach l'sisa b'makom ploni b'yom ploni, that we have a record on this day, in this place, you did this exact action. V'omer hein, and he's going to have to acknowledge, yes, that was me. V'omer lo chasom, and they're going to tell him to sign. V'chosim, and he's going to have to sign. Shara b'yad kol adam yachtom. V'lo od, and not only that, el shematztik lo v'sadin, he's going to have to acknowledge the righteousness of Hashem's judgment. V'omer lehem, and he's going to say to the Beis Din Shalmaila, yofa dantuni, you judge me properly. The kayim ha'shenemar, and this is a fulfillment of the pasuk l'man titztak b'dvarecha, that when a person is matztik his dvarim, that they show him. He's matztik that which they show him that he actually did, and that he's being punished for. I think they say when the technology of video came out, the Chavetz Chaim said he was very moved by it. He said, "Oh, that's what the Gemara was talking about, that they're going to show a person everything. Meaning, there's not going to be any denial. There's going to be footage that they're going to be shown. It helps us to understand well what goes on in the din in the Olam Emes." Amar Shmuel, Kol Yosher B'Taynis Nikra Chote. Someone who fasts when it's not necessary to fast, when it's not obligatory to fast, is considered to be a chote. It's considered to be a sinner, because a person is not supposed to be mitzayir himself. Tzaddik is allowed to get hana'a from Olam Hazeh. The Gemara in Horio says tzaddiki I achli hay alma misani lu. Is it so bad to benefit a little bit from Olam Hazeh? Someone who fasts unnecessarily is nikra chote. Savor ki aitana titani Reb Elazar HaKapar Barabi Omer, that Reb Elazar HaKapar, who was the greatest of his generation, that's what Barabi means. Barabi is a title that he was a gadol bedoro, used to say matam olamur. What does the pasuk mean when it talks about the karbonos of a nazir and who became Tame during the Yemei Nazirus? It says v'chiper alav me'asher chata ala nefesh v'chibei ze nefesh chataza. What nefesh did this person sin against? He just became tame. Elishatzir atzma minayayin. He sinned against his own nefesh because he was mitzayir himself from drinking wine unnecessarily. No one told him to become a nazir. So you see that it's a sin to become a nazir. That's what it's certainly what it sounds like, that it's an aveira to become a nazir. Problem is that the simple reading of the pasuk is that it's only talking about a nazir that became tameh, and that's why it was chatal nefesh. So it's strange for the Gemara, you know, to give this fancy pshat chatal nefesh, because he became a nazir because he was mitzar himself from that which he didn't. We're talking about a nazir tameh. He did an aveira becoming a nazir tameh. So the Gemara Maseches Nedarim Maseches Nazir says that even a nazir tameh is called a chote, and the pasuk emphasizes this by a nazir tameh because he's shana bechet. But in a chinami, it applies to every nazir. It's just that a nazir tameh did a double aveira. One, in becoming a nazir, and second, once he became a nazir, not following all the dinei nazir, not being careful enough in the dinei nazirus by becoming tameh. So if it's true that even becoming a nazir is considered an aveira on some level, so we have a kalvachomer. Person who's only mitzar himself from wine is called a chote. Someone who's mitzar himself from everything is, by fasting is for sure considered a chote. That's one possibility, that a person who fasts is considered a chote. Rabbi Elazar Omer, that no, a person who fasts, nikra kadosh, he's called kadosh, because by fasting he's going to contemplate his actions, going to be mfashish b'masav, and he's going to ultimately do tshuva, and that's going to save him from his averos, shenemar, and we derive it from the same parsha of Nazir. Pasuk says, kadosh iya gadal perasar rosho, umazesh lotzir asa umidavrecha nikra kadosh, if by only withholding one thing from himself he's already called the kadosh. Person who withholds everything from himself, all the more so, is called the Kadosh. L'Shmuel, ha'ikri Kadosh, asked the Gemara, wait a second, according to Shmuel, we do see that another is called the Kadosh, so how could Shmuel say that he's called the Chote? So there are different elements of being a Nazir. Hahu, agidul perakai. A Nazir himself is not a Kadosh. When we say he's a Kadosh, it means that his hair is Kadosh, meaning his hair is asur ba'ana'a. So that's what's called the Kadosh, that since the hair becomes asur ba'ana'a, so in that level it's considered to be a Kadosh. According to Rabbi Elazar, but wait a second, doesn't the Torah call him a Chote? So Rabbi Elazar will say, that's by Nazir Tameh. If a Nazir became Tameh, then in a Chinami he's called a Chote for becoming Tameh. But a regular Nazir didn't do anything wrong. Frankly, Gemara Miyam, Rabbi Elazar Achi, does Rabbi Elazar really say that anyone who fasts is considered to be a Kadosh? Rabbi Elazar, Lom Yom Rad Matzmo, Kilu Kadosh Shari b'toch me'ev. A person should always view it as if his whole intestines, his whole insides are kadoshim and a kadosh baruch hu is within him, and therefore, Shanemar b'kirbucha kadosh v'lo avo b'ir. So we dashim b'kirbucha is loshim kirbayim. It's his intestines. So from the fact that it refers to his me'ayim as kadoshim, it's mistaver that you're not allowed to harm your stomach and your intestines by not eating. So it turns out that Rabbi Lazar is soser soser himself, because over here he says you're not allowed to fast because me'ayim kadoshim, and before he says that person is who fasts himself is a kaddish for fasting. So lo kasha had matzil tzuri nafshe. When he says that you're called a kaddish for fasting, that's where your body is strong and you're able to withstand the fast. Had lo matzil tzuri nafshe. When a person is weak and not able to withstand the fast, that's when he's considered. That's when we say may of kadoshim, and he should not be. He should not be fasting. He should not be limiting his intake and denying his holy intestines what they need. Reish Lakish amar nikra chaser. Is the third cheetah that a person who fasts is not a chote, he's not a kadosh, he's a chassid. Shemar gomel nafsho ish chesed va'ocher she'ero. So someone who's a mafresh himself from Michael Mishta is called a chassid. Someone who fasts and is machresh besaro is called an achzar. So Amar Rav Sheshes, hi bar bei Rav, the Yosef B'Tanisa. If you have a ben yeshiva, someone who learns Torah and he fasts and his body can't really handle the fast, so it's not a good thing. Leichel kalbul she'ruso. A dog should eat his meal, meaning it's as if a dog eats his su'uda, it's as if he didn't really fast as a righteous thing. We view it as if someone who just didn't have any food and his dog just ate his su'uda, and that's the way we view him because he shouldn't have been fasting in the first place. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, ein tainus tzibur b'bavel, that there none of the chumras of a tainus tzibur apply in Bavel because there's so much water, the ground is so saturated in Bavel, so they never have to observe a tainus with all the chumras of a tainus tzibur, ela tisha b'bavel, except for the tainus of Tisha B'Av, where we're knowing all those dinei avelos and all those chumras on Tisha B'Av, where it's also being a sandal, b'sicha, tashma, shamita, all of those things. V'amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, Reish Lakish, ein talmud chacham rashi leisha b'tainus. Talmud chacham is not allowed to sit in tainus, mimreisha mima'et b'malacha shamayim, because if a talmud chacham is fasting, it means he's going to be able to do less of what he normally does, and what he normally does is malacha shamayim. So we don't want to slow the talmud chacham down in the work that he does. Limud Torah is called Melecha Shemayim, because there's no tzorach atzmo, there's no tzorach gashmi in Limud HaTorah, it's all tzorach Shemayim, and because through Kabbalah HaTorah, the Bria Shemayim Va'aretz was completed. That's what Gemara says in Shabbos Taf Peiches, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it tonight with Ma'aseh Bereishis, that if Klal Yisrael is going to be Mekabel the Torah, Mutav, otherwise everything is going to go back to Sov Vavo. So therefore it's called Melecha Shemayim, because the whole Shemayim Va'aretz depends on Limud HaTorah. Ochel v'shos mishchashecha. So the Mishnah said, when it comes to the first fast, the first series of fasts that they would do on account of a lack of rain, that they're allowed to eat and drink at nighttime, and there's no the iser to eat only begins in the morning. So a person who wants to fast has to be mekabel tainus the day before the fast. So Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rav Huna, yachad shekibel of tainus. A person who's mekabel tainus on the previous day, va'afilu achal v'shasa kol ha'layli, even if he eats and drinks all night, l'machon mispal tefilas tainus. The next day, he's still going to say anenu in his shmona esrei. Even though normally the day starts at night and this guy was eating all night, nevertheless it's still considered that he's doing a proper tainus. Lun b'tani, so if on motzoi the tainus, he doesn't break his fast and he goes to sleep still fasting, ain't a mispal shel tainus. The next morning at shachris, he does not daven at tefilas tainus. Amar Rav Yosef, Mikasav Rav Huna. What's the svara for the psak of Rav Huna that someone who's lon b'taniso doesn't say anenu at shachris? So svir leish ein masanin l'sha'os. He holds that doesn't help to be mekabel tainus. That's not for a full day. That's only for certain sha'os. It's only for certain hours of the day. So over here, he was not mekabel tainus of nighttime the previous day before the evening began. It was just after he finished the previous day's fast, and he went to sleep instead of eating. But his plan the whole time was to be able to eat. Maybe there's a tightness even on such a thing, even when you're only fasting for a few hours. Misan l'shos, ain't no mispal tefilas tainus. But the Titus Shalos is not considered chashuv and so chamor that you should have to be misspelled Tfilas Titus. So Rafuna Svar is one of two things. Either there's simply no such thing as a Titus Lashos, or yeah, there is such a thing as a Titus Lashos, but a Titus Lashos is not such a strong Titus. A Titus Lashos wouldn't require a Tfilas Titus. Amle Abayis, Abayis says to Rav Yosef, the Olam Kasav Rafuna Misanin Lashos, Va Misanin Lashos misspelled Tfilas Titus. Now, maybe there is such a thing as a Titus Lashos, and there's a tefillah tainus for a tainus shows, but shiny yachadika shows to leil kabel lemeikara. But over here, this is different than a regular tainus shows, because over here we're talking about a person who fasted the previous day and then the night that followed it, he just continued in the fast without an extra kabbalah tainus. Not like the Maksha thought that we're talking about a person who's mekabel tainus at some point through the night. No, his not eating isn't a tainus at all. So marukva ikla leginzak. Marukva went to a place called Ginzak. Bo minei misan shows ve'in misan shows. And the Shaila, is there such a thing as a Tainus L'Shaos or not? So is there such a thing as Kabbalah's Tainus for only part of the day? Lo Ava B'Yadeh. He didn't know the answer to that question. Then they asked him two more questions. Kankanim Shal Nachrim Asurim O Mutarim Lo Ava B'Yadeh. They asked him the Klecheres of Nachrim that they used to keep wine in. Are you allowed to use them for your own wine if they're emptied out? He didn't know. B'Meshim Yish Moshe Kol Shivas Yimei Miluim. Which begadim did Moshe wear when he was acting as Kohen Gadol throughout the Shivas He didn't know that answer either. As far as your first question, after 12 months, the kankanim shel nachrim become mutter. And Rav Kana asked b'chaluk lavan shein lo imra that it was with a white robe, and Rav Kana added that it was a white robe that didn't have any hem on it, and therefore all of his questions were answered. Baruch Hashem, will pick up with the last three words on the page. I'm Rav Chista tomorrow. Everyone have a great day.